Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good afternoon again, Mid-Michigan. This is Kelly Dean along with my dear friend, Dr. John Shinsky, and we're sitting in for Jack Ebling today. And as we start our first segment here, John, we have a very special guest, and I've been looking forward to talking with him this afternoon, Mr. Bill Ballinger. Bill, welcome. I have been somebody who just has a interest in politics here across our state of Michigan, and been a true fan of yours. Your Inside Michigan business has been great, and certainly enjoy you on public television off the record. And so we're pleased that you're here today. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much, Kelly and John. Glad to be with you.
Well, thank you,
Bill. Good to hear you, Bill.
Okay, first thing I think we'd like to ask you is, you know, this has been a pretty historical time here with such a significant change in our state government. And as we're winding down the last, 35, 36 days or so, obviously there's going to be a significant change, but there still seems to be a lot of activity going on at the state capitol. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts and perspective of that is, if our current legislators are still trying to wrap up some loose ends.
There's always speculation at this time of year that in the so-called lame duck sessions, which is the period of time between a general election and even-numbered years and the very end of the year, December 31st, about 7 weeks, that's called lame duck, because the people that are meeting are lame. They're not going to be around after December 31st. Some people believe it's almost immoral to have a lame duck session because, stop and think about it, a lot of the people who will be voting on this legislation are not really accountable to anybody at this point. They don't have to face the voters again. They're term limited, many of them. And so people think they really shouldn't have these sessions, but they do. And there's always a lot of speculation and controversy about bills that are being considered, things that might be rushed through in the 11th hour before the legislature adjourns for the year. But you know something? It hardly ever happens. You know, there's a lot of talk. Heap big smoke, but no fire. They usually just don't get a lot of things done. This year, I think, is probably not going to be an exception to that. And I think one of the reasons is, as you just pointed out, a big year and a big turnover. You got a new Republican governor coming in. Let's put it this way. He will not want to see this lame duck session pass anything that is going to interfere or complicate life for him, Rick Snyder, after he becomes governor January 1st. So if he says to members of his own party, just don't screw something up here, you know, in the last few days before the end of the year, before I take office, it's not going to happen. The Republicans will block it. And I would say concomitantly, if you're a Democrat and you control the state house right now, you've got the governorship, but you're going to be out of power after December 31st, why would you want to do favors for incoming Republican administration and say, oh, by all means, we'll come up with whatever vote you want to pass whatever you want between now and the end of the year so that your new governor and your new Republican-controlled legislature won't have to face these issues after January 1st. I don't think the Democrats are motivated to do that. Basically, their attitude at this point is, okay, we lost the election, but it's the Republicans' responsibility now. Let them take this stuff up after January 1st. We're not going to bail anybody out.
Well, Bill, you have some great expertise in this area of politics, and I think the state has made it very clear that they're looking at a new type of leadership in this state. You know the talents of Rick Snyder. What do you think the public can expect to see from him, some demonstrative type of behaviors or decisions right off the bat that are going to demonstrate his type of leadership that we can look forward to for the next several years?
Well, I think you put your finger on it. I mean, he has talked the talk all during 2009, 2010. He's going to be a new kind of a governor. He's going to reach out to the other side. He's going to be nonpartisan, bipartisan. He wants help from anybody and everybody, regardless of party affiliation. And so far in his personnel decisions, people who he's picked to be in his new administration, he's also walking the walk. He's saying and showing that he really is doing what he's promised to do. The real issue, though, the big final question is, what in terms of policy is he going to come up with that shows that he really is different as a Republican, let's say? Mm-hmm. Is he going to be, when it gets right down to it, despite all the talk and the personnel decisions, is he going to turn out to be a really conservative, no taxes, cut spending Republican? Or is he going to come up with some really bold initiatives that might involve revamping the tax structure, maybe raising taxes in certain areas that is anathema supposedly to people in the Republican Party, but that could be appealing to Democrats? We don't know that yet, and that's what people are really waiting to see.
It was pretty interesting, Bill, wasn't it, that I believe his first appointment was Andy Dillon.
Yes.
Jumping all the way across the party lines and such a significant role for Andy. I think that certainly has sent a message to a lot of folks, particularly Democrats, that maybe there is an effort here to really honestly back up what he's been saying, and that Michigan is pretty important and we're all going to work together.
I agree with that. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty unusual, very unusual. I can't remember a time that this has happened in the last half century where an incoming governor has picked a very prominent official of the opposite party who, for that matter, was just running for the governorship himself, might have faced Snyder as the Democratic nominee if he'd won the Democratic Party, picked him to be part of his administration in a major position. Also, he picked Dennis Muchmore, who's a multi-client lobbyist of great success for years. Came out of the Senate Democratic staff years ago, never has been considered a Republican by any means. I think maybe right now he's viewed as kind of nonpartisan, but his background was Democratic. And so, I mean, Snyder is making these decisions, as I say, on personnel anyway, that look like he is a guy who wants to be inclusive, and he's going to try and seek out talent wherever he finds it. The real issue, though, is policy, bills. What's he going to come up with in terms of specific ideas?
You know, the interesting, Bill, is to try to see what can an incoming governor do to demonstrate to people that he's advocating for them to get employment and to be able to participate and contribute in his state, while at the same time having to deal with such a significant deficit in his state. From your perspective, what can he do to demonstrate his commitment to getting people employed and moving the state forward, while at the same time going to have to make some difficult decisions on cutting the budget?
Right. Well, again, that's where I'm talking about policy, because a lot of the policy decisions he makes or the recommendations to the legislature in terms of bills he wants them to pass to deal with the tax structure, to deal with economic development, to maybe pair state spending in certain areas, that's going to be really significant. But let me just say one thing more. You know, I think very often a governor can set a tone which encourages economic revival and optimism. I mean, I think Ronald Reagan, to a certain extent, did that back in the early 1980s. Without really specifically doing things governmentally that are going to turn things around. And a governor is, frankly, much less able to influence public policy and economic development than a president is, obviously. Rick Snyder could be, you know, the most brilliant governor in the world from the get-go, and he's not going to be able to single-handedly turn Michigan's economy around. It took a long time for Michigan's common economy to break down into what we've been faced with over the last 10 years, the demise of the domestic auto industry here in Michigan, heavy manufacturing. And Rick Snyder is not going to be able to turn it around with policy decisions overnight. And frankly, you know, state government's budget and the deficit, the problems and challenges he faces, yes, that's very important to the people in Lansing and the elected officials. But the idea that somehow balancing the budget or doing it in some dramatic way is all of a sudden going to single-handedly revive Michigan's economy, that's not going to happen. There are going to be all sorts of things done in Washington, D.C., the Federal Reserve, the President, the Congress, that are going to be far more significant. But Snyder has to hope that at least he's not getting in the way. He's not causing problems, and he's maximizing the chances for revival whenever and wherever he can. And he's got a slogan that he's used for 2 years, we need to reinvent Michigan. Now, we are going to find out whether that's an empty slogan or whether there's some real substance to it.
Well, Bill, we certainly appreciate your great insight. And as citizens, we believe that we have to participate, as we said earlier. And we're all in this together. It's our great state. And so hopefully, politics aside, everybody's going to step up and reinvent this great state. So we appreciate you being here today. And you keep up the great work. And we'll look forward to hearing from you soon.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks very much, and it's nice to be with you guys.
You too.
Thank you, Bill.
Take care.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, again, for joining Ebling and you today. John Shinsky and I are very pleased, and we're going to take a break here at this time, and we'll be back in just about 2 minutes.